Oh, Jesus, come soon, please. Truth, exposure, and accountability. We are uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable this 6th day of June 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Yes, it is June, and that means it is Pride Month. The entire 12th of the year that this country now dedicates to the worst of the seven deadly sins. Every company has a new homo gay pride themed logo. Workplaces are flooded with events celebrating fags and transgenderism, and God help you if you express the slightest disapproval of any of it. Government buildings across this country, even our embassies around the world, are flying the pride flag from their flagstaffs. It's basically our second national flag at this point. Actually, check that. It's probably our primary national flag, because if you burn the normal American flag, nothing will happen, of course. We've seen it. But God help you. If you burn a pride flag, left-wing authorities will find a reason to send you to prison, lock you up, probably for the rest of your life. Brian Ruka is a father in Boston who recently had a rude awakening to the satanic religious propaganda that's basically taken over our entire school system. A short time ago, Brian's wife discovered a short story that had been assigned to their 11-year-old son in his English class. The story was taken from the book Black Boy Joy, and it was titled The Gender Reveal. The short story is about a child that's, quote, non-binary, and about how this non-binary child is treated like a hero for coming out to his or her, whatever, coming out to its friends. Brian got in contact with the Boston School Department, but the conversation about the book was decidedly hostile. Staff acted like they were hurt. They were completely dismissive. According to Brian, it was like they were speaking two totally different languages. He's almost right, but they're not speaking different languages. They're members of two entirely different religions. Our schools and libraries and CPS agencies are filled with adherents of the cult of transgenderism. And they believe in this cult more strongly than your typical Republican politician believes in Christianity. Prove me wrong. So Brian asked these cultists whether they would ever assign a short story about Christianity in his son's class. They wouldn't answer. Of course, you know as well as I do that the answer is no, unequivocally. Period. Brian started to get involved with his local school board. He participated in the public comment period during a school board meeting, which of course was held by Zoom, and he expressed his deep displeasure about the propaganda being fed to his son. The school board informed him that they would not be making any accommodation for his family to get his son out of this curriculum in English class. There would be no exemption. The school district was supposed to allow exemptions for sex ed, but according to them, this story wasn't sex ed. No, it was part of a mandatory curriculum, like doing math or learning how to read. But of course, the school board was actually right, in a way, because this isn't sex ed. It's far more than that. This is political and religious indoctrination. It's child abuse. That school is assigning gender reveal for the same reason a Soviet school would assign Lenin, or a Chinese school would assign Chairman Mao. And that's why they won't be granting religious exemptions. The entire point is to propagandize children so that they abandon their parents' religion and hate them and have nothing but resentment for them and then embrace the new religion of wokeism. Brian has been inspired by his personal experience to begin speaking out more. He started his own political podcast titled Right and Wrong, and he's been reaching out to conservative media outlets like this one to publicize his personal experience and shed light on the poison that they're using to groom and kill our kids all over the country. And of course, he's suing Boston Public Schools for its unconstitutional denial of his religious freedom requests, and he joins us now. Brian, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Stu. I really appreciate giving us the time to speak out about this. It's such an important issue, and we need to do something about it. And that's why I'm so happy to be working with the people from We the Patriots USA. They can be found at wethepatriotsusa.org. They're the ones that are actually sponsoring my lawsuit against the city of Boston, and they work on donations. So they reached out to me after hearing my story. They got picked up on the Daily Wire, you know, from when I spoke at the school board, like you had mentioned. And the people at We the Patriot USA reached out, decided that we had something we could work with here. And we're trying to, you know, raise funds to get this case brought as far up as we can bring it.
I mean, you agree that this isn't just different languages, but this is just two entirely different religions. These people are cultists.
Oh, absolutely. All day. And you nailed it with what you said, that it's trying to remove what we're teaching our own kids in our homes within our own family and replace it with that religion of the wokeism.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I know the answer why, but I'd like to hear your point of view.
It's because it's a much bigger, broad scale thing. They're trying to take over the entire country this way. And it's, you know, it's the left's, you know, fascination with globalism, and they want to completely remove the American way. They want religion out of our country, at least Christianity.
Yeah, they want Christianity specifically gone. And this is part of the Great Replacement. While white Christian Americans are replaced with minorities and terrorists and people whose primary language is not English and bogged down the school system so that your 11-year-old son cannot learn effectively using your tax dollars. But no, instead, we're going to have this theory of everybody needs to be gay, thereby reducing the nuclear family size, the structure of the family, the framework of our country, the Constitution, and the Bible. All of that can be trashed and thrown out while we then honor new gods like Fauci and, you know, people who have anal sex with the same sex. It's absolutely disgusting. This is weakening our country, and it's being done intentionally from this chair, as far as I can tell.
Absolutely. And that was one of the points that I tried to bring to the school board was, if this story in an English class happened to be about a kid that found Jesus Christ, do you think that would have lasted? Do you think that would have been okay to teach in the class?
No. Absolutely not.
Not at all.
I don't even have to think about that. If you mentioned the Bible has been taken out of our schools, just like the Pledge of Allegiance has been taken out of our schools, because if you show honor to our country or to God first, you are the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it speaks to the whole bigger issue that's going on where, like you said it in your open there, that they're trying to just eradicate the nuclear family that we have. And they want to brainwash our kids at as young an age as possible. Like, this has no business being in an elementary school. Luckily we found out about it. And my son, like, I spoke to him the way I would speak to you right here. I was like, listen, a boy's a boy, a girl's a girl. This is what is this? What's non-binary? And he's talking to me the same way. Like, yeah, I don't know. That's, I don't know how somebody could decide to not be either or. And one of the points my wife likes to bring up about it is, how would the teacher even react if one of those kids raised their hand and asked that question in the class? Because I don't think they're prepared or ready to handle that either.
These are the same people who have been telling us. What is non-binary? Yeah, follow the science, right? These are the same people who have been telling us that. A boy can just become a girl by chopping off his penis and his balls and or tucking them or whatever they do. I guess I don't even really know. And taking hormones and mutilating their own bodies and becoming the opposite sex. And then these people grow up and then they resent their own selves because they can't have kids on their own. And so then they get pissed off and they become groomers and rapists themselves. And the only way for them to actually have or acquire children is by stealing them from you or from me. And that's exactly the phase that we're in right now. They're stealing your child to this ideology, to this new religion, so that they can indoctrinate them to easily groom them and ultimately touch them and molest them, even on Air Force bases like we saw at Ramstein. Drag queen story hour for the troops' kids on an Air Force base overseas in Germany. I don't know how you're not in jail already, because I think I would have reacted a whole lot more. So where is this lawsuit at now, and what is the prognosis? Do you think that this is going to be, what's the outlook of this? Is it going to be successful?
I mean, obviously we're hoping it is. It's just in the early phases now where we're trying to raise funds for it. And like I said, if anybody, I know you have a big fan base, a loyal group of listeners, if they'd like to go to wethepatriotsusa.org, they could donate to the lawsuit. And that's how we're going to be able to go forward with it. Like I was reached out by the people from We the Patriot, and you know, they offered to try and put me in contact with some lawyers, because it's overwhelming for me. I'm just a working stiff, just like anybody else.
That's wethepatriots.org, correct?
Yes.
Go to wethepatriots.org, wethepatriotsusa.org, wethepatriotsusa.org, and contribute to this lawsuit. We need to stop this and set an example right now. Also, check out Brian's podcast, Right and Wrong. You can find it anywhere that you find your favorite podcast. Brian, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me, Stu. Keep doing what you do.
Yeah, more of the Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go ahead. All right, if you're part of the Stu Peters Show tribe, if you are truly Stu crew, then you know that you need a dominant brain. Go to dominanceondemand.com right now and check out the brain supplements from Newtopia, something for everyone, whether it's working out or sleeping or being focused or being organized. Any of the brain supplements that they have there, I'm on these things and I'm telling you, they make an unbelievable difference in my daily life. Go to dominanceondemand.com. Be dominant. It's a switch for your brain. Turn on your brain immediately. No more snooze button, no more required shots of caffeine or coffee. Be dominant on demand. Go to dominanceondemand.com. Again, dominanceondemand.com. Well, as viewers of this program are well aware, the United States government is cracking down on dissenting points of view. You can become a political prisoner for protesting against election fraud. You can get your personal credit card and bank account shut down for writing the wrong opinions online or banned from Uber or Airbnb. But the United States is certainly not alone in this regard. One of this show's recurring guests, Dr. Arianna Love, lives in Finland, and she's faced her own brand of targeting by the regime in that country. Dr. Arianna Love is here to talk about that, plus a new study that she says explains the mechanism by which vaccines might be driving up the rate of autism around the world, and she joins us now. So there's a new study or a study that you have come across that suggests, as we know, vaccines are the key contributor to autism in children. But it appears that this new jab or series thereof is specifically targeting even adults with autism. Is that correct?
Right, right. It's a horror. It's horrible. so I started with, there's this study called in Medical News Today published there, and it says COVID-19 disrupts electrical activity in the frontal cortex of the brain. So what they found is that COVID-19 is basically lobotomizing about 25% of people who catch it. And it just knocks out, it's through targeted gene deletion in the frontal cortex, so the frontal lobe of the brain. That's why people are experiencing brain fog. They're targeting other parts of the brain as well, and I found studies on this. The good news is that cognition does return, but it's a process. So there's another study that says epigenetics and cerebral organoids promising directions in autism spectrum disorder. Now, this backs up Dr. Jane Ruby's reports, my reports on the organoids. Brain organoids are grown in the human body and in the brain, and it creates a new neural network. So they are literally able to build a new brain with these organoids. And I found the studies that prove this. Also, this same study reveals that autism is caused by targeted gene deletion in the brain in three regions. They're finding. But
so just to be clear, is this coming from the bioweapon manufactured and intentionally released from the Wuhan lab, or are we talking about what's in the vials of these Pfizer and Moderna euthanasia injections?
Actually, they've been doing it all along. Autism is not caused by mercury. That's a diversion. It's caused by gene deletion. And now we know, and the studies are all coming out into the open. I mean, there is a plethora of gene deletion syndromes online, like the 1P36 deletion syndrome. That one is, Todd Callender has been talking about it. That is basically the lobotomization of the frontal lobe. And there are many other syndromes as well, including autism. So when you knock out the, what they're doing is they're knocking out the X chromosome in the brain, in three different parts of the brain, and it induces these different deletion syndromes. And they're knocking out the X chromosome, which is, again, the E1 gene, which I reported on months ago when I first came on your show, last year, I think.
And I want to address something also here. I think it's important to clarify. The position of this show is not that there's some virus out there that's making people sick. The position of this program is that there are bioweapons, multiple bioweapons that have been chimerically man-made, engineered with the intent to harm, disable, handicap, and kill people One of those is this product branded as COVID-19. This is not an airborne respiratory virus. Do you share that position?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so
it's
in
a bioweapon.
And so in that bioweapon. So when we say COVID is fake, we don't mean that there's not something out here making people sick. We acknowledge that there is something out here making people sick, creating the brain fog that you discussed, harming them, and then they end up in the hospitals because they're panicking due to the propaganda in the media, and then they're killed with the murderous protocols that the NIH sets forth through Tony Fauci's remdesivir and ventilators, and then into an early grave. So we acknowledge that. I just want to be clear, this isn't something that you're just out running around catching. And then there's the bioweapons that were introduced by Pfizer and Moderna and earlier on AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson that are killing people. We now have Novavax, which has gone through moths, same technology, mRNA technology, possibly even more dangerous than these that we're looking at now. So these are the things that you're speaking of that cause this lobotomy of the frontal cortex, correct?
Yes, all of it, all of the above. Basically, they've been doing this for decades. These studies reveal that they've been inducing autism by knocking out people's intelligence. I guess they don't want us, you know, being smart. They don't want us awakening. And so they're suppressing it in everybody. I mean, they've been doing it selectively in children through the vaccination program for decades.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Some of the autistic people that I know are probably more awake than a lot of these normies who aren't autistic. Salute our autistic people because they're high functioning and they are brilliant people for the most part. So they're not doing a very good job of keeping the information superhighway at a halt because I think it's speeding up more and more. And there's a lot of autistic people that are actually participating in that. Mm-hmm. But this is a problem in a whole lot of other ways because this doesn't just isolate itself to this COVID-19 fake virus bioweapon that was intentionally released or these euthanasia shots, these bioweapon injections. But this has been going on for a very long time with most of these vaccines. And we're talking about vaccines that go, these early childhood ones and all kinds of other ones that are subjected to our military personnel that they experiment on and force these injections into people who then come out of the military oftentimes only to commit suicide or be failures as we look at them in the rest of their life, end up homeless or in dead-end jobs that have nothing to do with what their MOS was in the military or what they went to school for.
Big Pharma has been disabling people for decades. The vaccinations have never been what vaccines were supposed to be. They've always been poison, and it's always been Big Pharma. They're inducing disease, causing chronic illness, and they are deleting people's intelligence and lobotomizing people, and now more so. And it's, you know, and what this causes, it causes a cortical so when you delete the X chromosome and in the frontal cortex or any part of the brain, it causes the cortical dysplasia, it's seizures, and the inability to talk, aggressiveness, and autism reduces intelligence. So this is what we're seeing. I also wanted to let your viewers know and that I've been targeted. I'm being targeted.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Right.
You've been out here in the forefront. And so they're going to do that. Now, we understand that they have seized your bank accounts. Is that right?
They deleted it. They drained it. They took 6,400 euros and gave me no documentation. They also, the Finnish government, they also blocked my business and personal shipments. And they're stealing them as well.
How do you know that it was the government that did this to you?
Oh, because it says so on my bank statement.
And then when you call them or try to get a hold of them in any way, do they have an answer for you as to why they did this?
Well, I'm tracking it down. I mean, I'm investigating. I'm going to find out. But, you know, they're stealing of my shipments and withholding them unlawfully when the customs fees are already paid by these companies. And so they're, you know, meddling. It seems like deliberate targeting once again, and it violates my asylum. It violates international agreements between nations. So I'm in political asylum. A lot of people may not know that, but I had to apply a couple of years ago. And I just want to give a little backstory about that. Basically in 2017, the Finnish government denied me residency when I had two underage minor children in my full custody. So my children, who are Finnish citizens, they refused to renew my residency, which was a violation of my rights. And then they motion, they started a deportation process trying to deport me for the next few years. And I went through the courts for 3 years until they determined that I'd committed no crime. But this was a violation of international law, of the Geneva Convention, a violation of the rights of the child. It was definitely, definitely violence against my children. And they were not ready to be separated from me. I have a child with high functioning autism. I've been their only sole provider since they were babies. So it was an act of violence. And it was from bad apples in the government here who are serving a foreign state in order, you know, to target me, doing so for a foreign
state.
Who's
the foreign state that they're acting on behalf of?
Israel. And I have evidence. The Israeli state. So, you know, the same people who smeared me online and tried to defame me as an anti-Semite or a racist or something, you know, which I'm the farthest thing from that. But this was all part of the same group of people.
When I asked questions of Dr. Brian Artis, who had a theory about COVID-19 and envenomation and the water and these injections, that was called anti-Semitic. I was an anti-Semite because I said, hey, Dr. Artis, tell us about your theory. This is just something that gets said.
When you expose anything about the Israeli state, that is the first thing that they do, is they try to flip the blame around and make you defensive. It's a psychological tactic.
Well, I'm not going to be on the defensive at all, ever. Right. I will always remain on the offensive. And I want to have you back to talk more about this autism study, as well as where can we find it? When viewers of this show want to go find this study, where can they go?
Okay, well, I said the name of it, and I found a bunch more right before the show, and I can send them over if you want to link them into the...
We will. You know, we'll link them into the article at stupeters.com. They'll be in the show notes. They'll be on Rumble everywhere. The links will be there so that you can connect to these things. We know that you're out there, you're camping, you're by the lake, you're having a good time, and for making the time for us today, we really appreciate it. Dr. Arianna Love, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me back.
Of course, anytime. And we hope that you enjoy your time out there in nature, away from the evil, wicked Satan worshipers that are trying to kill us and our kids and purge our militaries. But we've told you about this government theft and seizing accounts, taking away your rights, your liberty, your individual freedom, stomping all over the Constitution. And so they're going to come after your accounts one day, too. If you have the balls to speak out, if you have the testicular fortitude to stand up, they're going to incapacitate you by any means necessary. And one of those is obviously economically. They're going to take your money, the stuff that you've worked hard to earn and even harder to save, like your retirement savings. So if you have 50 grand or more in your IRA and your 401k or in your savings, the government's going to seize it or come and steal it. They're going to take it and leave a nice little love note that says, thank you very much. We appreciate it. So you need to protect that savings with physical gold and silver by calling my good friends over at GoldCo. 855-706-GOLD is the number. Again, 855-706-GOLD. You can get up to $10,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account from my good friends over at GoldCo, who have already helped thousands of Americans to protect their retirement savings against hyperinflation and increased taxes and the government theft or seizing of money, which is coming. These banks, I'm predicting a big shutdown, the internet going off the market, offline, all of that stuff. So just protect it. Physical gold and silver. Protect your IRA, your 401k, and your savings that's at risk right now by converting to physical gold and silver, and get up to $10,000 or more in free money just for doing it. Call 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Welcome back. J.D. Rivera served this country for 10 years in the United States Marine Corps. For clarification, that's 10 more years serving this country than the vast majority of sitting U.S. congressmen have done. Anyway, after getting out of the Marines, J.D. pursued his passion for filmmaking. He's been in that business since 2013, and he's the owner of Arver Films. Well, in his role as a filmmaker, he was present at the Capitol on January 6th. 2 weeks later, he was arrested by the FBI for his, quote, participation in the events there. The FBI confiscated everything that J.D. relied on to run his business, his cell phone, his computer, his hard drives, his SD cards, his camera, literally everything. And surprise, surprise, here we are a year and a half later, and they haven't returned any of it. If you go on YouTube right now, you can see a side-by-side comparison of J.D.'s footage and the footage shot by Luke Mogelson for The New Yorker. And the footage is practically identical. Mogelson climbs through a window. Rivera climbs through a window. Mogelson marches through the hallways. Rivera walks through the same hallways. One of the only big differences, J.D. stays in the hallways of the Capitol that are normally always open to the public, while Mogelson swoops down onto the U.S. House floor to directly record the marchers there. But because Mogelson is with an elite left-wing outlet and J.D. Rivera is a dissident new media supporter of President Trump, they were treated very differently. Mogulson gets to skate. He gets a pass. He gets treated as a journalist. JD gets treated like he's a terrorist. Like so many other January 6 political targets, JD has had to suffer for a year and a half while the government drags out his case as long as possible, simply to maximize the suffering of him and his other protesters. He has a show trial coming up on the 14th. He exclusively wants to appear here to talk more about that, and we're lucky to have him. JD joins us now. JD, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Stu, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, I've noted a lot that there's virtually nobody defending you, nobody protecting you, nobody advocating for the charges to be dropped from President Trump all the way down. Everybody's very quiet, with the exception of a couple of notables. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz have been outwardly speaking on behalf of January 6 prisoners that are still locked away in the gulag, or those that are going to have upcoming show trials. That's what this is. This is all fake. It's a show trial. This is the big lie. No insurrection occurred. The real insurrection happened on November 3rd of 2020, and that's what you were there protesting against. By the way, at the direction of then-sitting President Donald Trump, who also said that he was at one point even going to join you there. He asked for everybody to be patriotic and peaceful, which by and large, everybody there on his behalf was. But you have also had an in-person dialogue with Matt Gaetz. Behind closed doors or in private conversations, is he as adamant about protecting J6ers as he seems to be in the media?
I don't believe so. The day when I finally got to meet him, it was actually at a church event, and he was, you know, shaking hands and taking pictures. And I actually got to go up to him, and the first thing I said is, hey, I need to let you know that I'm extremely upset with the way you've been handling things. And his response was, well, what did I do? And I explained to him, I'm a J6 defendant, and I'm in your backyard, and I've tried to speak to you and your office multiple times, and I've never had an opportunity to sit down and talk to you. And that's all I'm trying to ask.
And what was his response to that?
He looked confused, dumbfounded. And then he sent me over to his assistant, who then took down my information to let me know that they were going to get back to me. And then roughly, I want to say maybe five to 10 minutes after he was talking to other people, came back to me, and we had a small conversation about J6 and what I was doing and how I work with Stop Hate, and you know, that there's a potential that we could work together. If he's so adamant about helping out J6ers and those in the gulag, we have information and video footage and anything you can use that would help support what you're trying to do. And he's like, yeah, you know what, that sounds like a good idea. You know, the typical, let me get with my people and we'll talk to you later. And that was, I mean, he even gave me his phone number. At least I think that was his phone number, because I've texted him once or twice and got like a small typical response, but nothing outside of what I requested. Like, he knew I wanted to sit down and talk to him and discuss what was going on, because it's, you know, he talks about being the champion for J6, and it would make sense for someone who's saying those kind of things to sit down and talk to somebody in his district, in his backyard, who, you know, I voted for him, and all I was ever looking for was the same support from him that I gave him. And obviously that's not what's going on.
How long has it been since that conversation?
December.
So in 7 months, you have not been reached out to, you've not been asked for the information, the video evidence that you have to support the case that this is not what the media is telling everybody that it is. And everybody that was there, like yourself, acting in a capacity like you did, really isn't guilty of anything at all.
Correct.
Why do you think that is?
I really don't know. It's disheartening. You know, I kind of feel like I've been stabbed in the back by my own government.
Well, the whole country feels like they've been stabbed in the back, because that's exactly what's happening. And Matt Gaetz is not concerned about it, because what he's concerned about is his own celebrity and doing photo ops and signing autographs and treating this country like it's a pro wrestling match. And like he's on the microphone about to body slam somebody, where the outcome has already been predetermined and everything else in between is just theater. And it doesn't matter how many regular, real American patriots like you get railroaded or thrown in prison without trials. Most of these people that are sitting in prison, that are subjected to this abuse and rape and torture and forced injections and solitary confinement, have not even been allowed to see their attorneys. And they've been tortured by people who appear to be foreigners that were imported for the sole purpose of being the enhanced interrogating abusers. And he doesn't care about those people. That's the bottom line. And if he did, he would come on this program and say so.
If he did honestly care about him, he would have taken me up on my offer to sit down and talk to me and the Stop Hate team to go over everything we have that would help support how we would potentially get these individuals out of the gulag and, you know, get the proper presentation that they deserve.
Yeah. The way that you were handled by local media after your arrest is basically the same way that Matt Gaetz is treating you, completely unfairly. You actually had a job with WKRG as a CBS affiliate out of Mobile, Alabama. That job was scheduled to start on January 18th. Mm-hmm. What happened there?
It's actually really crazy. So prior to the Capitol situation, I actually had an interview with him in December as well, telling him that this is what I want to do. I'm trying to be a journalist. I'm a camera operator. This is what I'd like to do. And I went that route. They loved me. They talked about it. They knew I explained to them, hey, I'm going to be heading up to the Capitol to see everything that's going on. And this was a couple of days prior. And after it all happened, on our way home, I actually get an email and a phone call saying, hey, we want you to be a part of the team. This is January 7th, mind you. Hey, we want you to be a part of the team. Let's get you going. You know, I was telling them what I saw at the Capitol, what I did at the Capitol, that I got the footage, and they were super excited about it. And all the way through to, you know, all the way up to January 18th, essentially, I was talking to the representatives, HR individuals, gave me my new hire paperwork, and it just kept going. And I was actually working alongside, I won't say working, but I was kind of piggybacking off of one of the head camera operators that I was going to be underneath. And every day I would ask him, hey, you know, what's going on? I'm ready to work. I've stopped doing some of my freelance stuff because I've been under the impression that I'm gonna start working with you guys. And every time he was just like, look, I don't know. I've called and they said it's HR, waiting for HR. And then I think you saw the information, but on the 18th, I got the email saying my job was to start on the 18th. So everything was pushed along. Everything was good to go. They had all my documentation. I got my cell phone waiver stuff, everything taken care of. And then on the 19th, same question. They're just like, yeah, we don't know what's going on. So I said, hey, you know what? At this point, I'm just going to have to say no now because there's other gigs that I need to take. I need to continue to try to make some money, and this is not going the way
they were dragging their feet because they already knew what the narrative was going to be coming down from the regime. They already knew that they were going to lie about this.
On January 19th, when I spoke to them, the next day at 7:30 in the morning, I'm being arrested by the FBI, and the only car across the street was a car from WKRG.
They knew you were going to be arrested the same way they knew Roger Stone was going to be arrested, which is why CNN was there even before the feds were. This was a fedsurrection. There were federal agent provocateurs all throughout that crowd. You know it. You documented it. Everybody knows it. There have been lie after lie after lie. Even the Fox News Channel and Newsmax are on board with these lies. What do you think is the most egregious of the lies that you have seen in regards to that day?
Just the fact that they're calling it an insurrection. It's not what it is. I mean, they're painting it as an insurrection. And because of that picture that they're painting, individuals like me and hundreds of other individuals who have these four misdemeanor charges are now on a domestic terrorist watch list just for being there.
Describe the day. I mean, look, you were there and we've had other J6ers on the program. And I think I know the answer to this. But if we were to go through the thousands of countless hours of footage there, surveillance footage, that, by the way, is a big secret that nobody is allowed to view. Discovery is not allowed to come in from a lot of these other defendants who are represented by attorneys that they're not even allowed to talk to. It's my assumption that if we had those thousands of hours of video surveillance from the Capitol that day, that it would be mainly extremely boring, a complete yawner, because it was a guided tour by cops that essentially allowed people to come in and take selfies. Isn't that right?
That's right. There's probably about 10, 15 minutes where things went, you know, a little bit crazy. But outside of that, the rest of it was actually a lot of fun, a lot of good time prior to. And then exactly like you said, once everybody got inside, those individuals who pushed their way inside and everybody who followed, that's exactly what it was. It was kind of like a guided tour.
I've seen videos of people talking to the police saying, mm-hmm. Hey, you're allowed to be in here. Just don't go wrecking anything. I mean, literally giving permission for you to be in there and for others to be in there as well. And then they're hunting these selfie takers down like they're Osama bin Laden, which, by the way, it was difficult to find him for many years as we dragged out trillions of dollars in a war where we taught Pashtun tribesmen how to be transgenders and rape kids.
Right, exactly.
But this is more important. So we're able to find these people really quickly. But we, oh, by the way, can't find the pipe bomber, though. Whoever placed the pipe bombs, really can't find those people. Ray Epps was really difficult to find as well, among a whole bunch of other feds and grifters that have involved themselves into this, including attorneys that are grifting off of this thing, too, in regards to January 6th. But this MAGA movement as a whole is now full of grifters and frauds and fakes and phonies who are trying to profiteer off of your tragedy. So what do you think needs to be done in order to make sure that funding, if people want to give, actually goes to where it is actually needed and direct it to places that are going to help us to reveal what the truth is, for example, at Stop Hate?
Yeah, I keep telling everybody the best way to do it is to go. Stop Hate has a list of everybody's give, send, go. So they don't have a donation area to go to Stop Hate. They have the donation links that go to everybody's individual give, send, go. So if anybody can go to those specific links, that's where I would say send it to, because you know it's going to the individual. It's not going to a corporation. It's not going to anything else but the specific individual. And you have in the give, send, go, it gives you a list or gives you the our information, what happened. So you know who it is that's actually receiving the money as well. It tells you money going to give, send, go will be received by said, you know, said person.
Well, you know, so, David Summerall has been on this program before. And of course, at first, I'm cautious because I don't know if somebody is just a fake or grifter trying to take a bunch of money from other people for a cause that's noble, but then pocket it themselves. And I have learned that that's not the case with Stop Hate. And I admire I admire David Summerall a lot. I honor him because he's not over there grifting and asking for a bunch of money. What can you tell us else about Stop Hate that people might not know?
Stop Hate has been one of the main places. A lot of stuff that people are seeing out there in the mainstream media and all over Twitter and other places, a lot of footage and information they're getting comes from Stop Hate, but people don't know that. So footage that they're showing, that they're saying, oh, this is the first, you know, breaking news. We're seeing footage for the first time from the DC, blah, blah. That's not breaking news, because Stop Hate, David and us and the team, we've been putting that stuff out since January 7th. And a lot of this stuff is coming from Stop Hate, and it gets pushed out and everybody takes it. And then people start acting like it was theirs, that they found it. And David doesn't get enough. Stop Hate doesn't. And I know he doesn't want any. He tells me all the time, I don't want any credit for this. We're just trying to make things right. But he doesn't get any credit for the amount of stuff that's out there that is his and it's owned by him. But he pushes it out because he's hoping, just like you and myself, that the individuals we give this stuff to actually tells the truth and gets these stories out and helps out J6ers, specifically right now, January 6ers, helps us out and just makes all this go away.
Let's take a look at some of this footage here. I'm going to ask my production staff, put this up on the screen here real quick. So this is the side-by-side comparison footage. We're going to just play portions of it here, of your work that day as a journalist. And by the way, not just a journalist that you decided to become on that day, but you've been doing this since 2013. You were actually hired based on your qualifications to work for a CBS affiliate. So you're no newbie here. You've been doing this for a long time. And then the other camera side by side here is from Mogulson with The New Yorker. Okay, so Luke Mogulson has been treated completely different from you. He's been treated as like a journalist, and he was supposed to be there, and here he's documenting all. This is the same exact thing. This is all the same, except for he goes even further inside here, and looking at it. I mean, this is obvious. So what were you hoping to communicate to the public by releasing this video, and where can the audience find this to view it in its entirety?
You can just go to my YouTube page. It's Arver Films. So if you go to Arver Films on my Twitter or anything Arver Films, you'll be able to find it on my YouTube. Even Luke Mogulson's full documentation, because mind you, I did cut it down to show the comparison of where we were different times, but essentially doing the exact same thing. But you can see his full documentation. And the main purpose of me doing that is to show how some of us who are not considered like big name journalists or anywhere in the film world, we're being treated specifically because of who we were, what we represented at that time. And the one thing I keep wondering, and maybe you can answer this too, is with all the, you know, Project Veritas and everybody coming out, seeing all of these individuals from CNN and different news stations, someone like Luke Mogulson from The New Yorker, with all that footage that they have, how come they haven't been subpoenaed to show all their footage by lawyers, by January 6th lawyers? I mean, that would show a whole nother level of, because if you look at Luke Mogulson's video.
Well, I can certainly answer that question. It's because either he's a federal agent and he was there based on instructions from his masters and his overlords, who are the Marxists and the communists who took over this country when they disenfranchised the vote and completely stole an election. Or he is just a propagandist for the regime that's taking over, and the commies that are in control now actually don't even really know who's in control, whether it's Barack Obama. We know that it's not Joe Biden, but it's definitely a foreign adversary. We've been overtaken by foreign countries. The greatest enemies to this country are now here. They've been infiltrating. They've been playing the long game, and Mogilson just has disavowed God and his patriotism, and has walked away from what it means to be an American exceptionalist or nationalist, and he has sold out to the same places that others have sold out. Virtually everybody. Nobody wants to have you on their program to show this footage, to talk the truth about what really happened. Everybody is bought and paid for now. So Mogilson is no different. I would assume that he's either getting his pockets lined, or he's getting anally probed, or getting oral pleasure from another homosexual, or he is a federal agent. I guess that's probably what it boils down to. Or there's blackmail and bribery material being held over him. So you're going to trial on the 14th. That's just upcoming here.
In about a week.
What are your expectations? Because there's been a lot of mixed results. Now, here, I want everybody to know something. It would have been really easy for you to take a plea deal, right? I mean, but you want to bring discovery. You want to open up this thing. You're taking it to a judge trial rather than juries in front of a DC jury. Probably the best idea, because jurors are typically idiots. And as we've heard from other guests here, they have specifically said in front of judges, I don't think I can get over my bias, Your Honor. Okay, great. You're on the jury. So these are completely biased juries, and we've seen one conviction happen from that already on all charges. Yeah. So what are your expectations as you finally get a chance to formally defend your case?
I don't really have too many expectations. I'm going in, expecting the worst, hoping for the best.
Are you excited? Are you nervous? How does your family feel about all of this?
Very mixed emotions. You know, my wife has been my rock. She has been put through the ringer with this entire thing. Not only did she almost lose her job because of me, she was, thrown in the bus and told she was a white supremacist and all sorts of crazy things. And, I feel like she's probably gone through more than I have with this entire situation. Cause not only is she dealing with that, she's dealing with my emotions. She's dealing with me struggling and stressing off of what's next, what's going to happen. And the whole time she's still maintaining her full-time job. She's a full-time mom. She's a full-time wife.
She's a warrior. And, she's a warrior. Yeah, just she's like absolutely you.
She doesn't get enough credit, and I appreciate her for everything. And she knows I do. Kids are really young.
Thank her on behalf of the rest of the country that has conservative values and believes in the nuclear family structure.
As far as my children go, they're young. They know that dad's dealing with some stuff with the government. They know that I'm going to trial. My youngest daughter, who's 6, actually did finally say to me that she's actually worried about me going to trial for the first time. I've never talked to her much about it. But it was a little disheartening to hear that. And I said, ultimately for us, we're Christians. So our faith is huge, and we know it's all in God's hands. So that's what keeps us aligned with being humble and staying present in what's going on without worrying about too much of what's going to happen in the future. Because we know it's in God's hands at the end of the day.
Everything is.
Yeah.
I am like way over time here. I've literally got seconds left. So just a couple of rapid fire questions. How long are they going to try to send you away for if you're convicted of this?
Max is, I think, 4 years.
4 years away in prison. This is going to have detrimental effects on the First Amendment and the freedom of the press.
Yes.
If you're convicted, obviously, this is going to set precedent for anybody else who ever picks up a camera and tries to be a journalist, or anybody actually an outsider who tries to run for elected office. I mean, this is the most pivotal, most important issue in our country right now, I think, is this January 6th and how this is, being handed down. But real quick, an acquittal, which is what we're praying for, and I know that God wins. I'm gonna say that that's what's going to happen. How will an acquittal impact our country, and what will it mean for the dozens of other journalists who've been wrapped up in these prosecutions and millions of Americans?
Well, I'm hoping if with an acquittal that the other journalists, friends of mine, will be able to have the same type of acquittal as well, which will make it easier for us to be able to push out more information that we have and not be so worried about actually giving out information that we do have and not having it being used against us. It's definitely going to start bringing things to full. Like we'll be able to see things that we haven't before if I get this acquittal, specifically for journalists who are being tried the same way I'm being tried.
J.D. Rivera, thank you so much for being here. We are all praying for you, and we'll be thinking about you, and I'll expect to hear from you when you walk out a free man after your trial on the 14th. And can you promise us the exclusive interview after your show trial is all complete?
Absolutely, Stu. I will.
Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile and peace of mind. No cost. Free shipping. Cancel anytime. Preparation on demand. Water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal. Or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's worst. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.
Well, as you might remember, the Pfizer and Moderna bioweapon shots, the clot shots, the euthanasia injections, had some pretty strict storage requirements while they were waiting to try and force them into everyone's arm. They had to not only be refrigerated, but stored at super cool temperatures in high-tech freezers, something like 70 degrees below zero. Well, a doctor in Canada says that he was interested in why that was, so he warmed up a vial of the Pfizer shot and then left it unrefrigerated for about a month. The doctor says that when he finally checked the vial a month later, he wasn't able to find any biological material in it at all. No RNA, no nucleic acids. Instead, he says that he was able to find one substance, something very horrific. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now to discuss these findings. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, Stu, this is an important part of the puzzle for sure. This is Dr. Daniel Nagasi, who's actually a Canadian emergency room doctor who was put on voluntary leave for successfully treating people with ivermectin. Familiar story.
Oh, weird.
He's since been touring Alberta and British Columbia, speaking out at rallies in terms of early treatment and the like. But he also is a research scientist in cellular, molecular biology and such, and viruses. And so he was given, I don't have all the details on the story, but he was given a Pfizer vial and a Moderna vial. Like you said, they were warmed up to about 1 to 2 months in terms of his words. And what he found was in each of these samples, Stu, and I brought a picture here. The first one is the Moderna vial warmed up. This is a picture that looks very similar to what Polish doctor Frank Zaluski found last year when he found this thing that looked like a parasite, but he said it was all metals. It was all aluminum and bromine, right? And carbon. But here's the big finding. Dr. Nagasi says, look, when we use spectroscopy, electron microscopes on this, you would expect to see in any kind of a vaccine or something that's going to be given as a biologic, in other words, this is a biological license that this is under, you'd expect to see carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, and phosphorus, because these are the building blocks of life. This is what makes it biological. These are proteins. And so he said his team of researchers found nothing but carbon and oxygen, which means it is non-biologic. X-ray spectroscopy did not find over and over again in both of these samples anything other than carbon and oxygen. And he said every living thing, whether it's a virus, an animal, or a plant, is made up of proteins, that carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and phosphorus. And these samples were all missing the phosphorus and the nitrogen, which means they were not biological entities at all. Now, he cannot conclude yet, Stu, if this material dissipated, if there was mRNA or any kind of RNA strands in there, this biological material, if it never was in there to begin with, or if it dissipated with the warming up. You know, like you said in the beginning, it's very important. We've never really understood why these companies were so hell-bent on keeping their materials, their vials, in such serious sub-zero, storage. And he went on to say that in this, by the way, this picture of the Moderna, he said this ball with the legs growing out of it, this shape, the ball growing out of it, for some reason has aluminum in it, which is highly toxic to human beings. And he said, I can say with certainty that this is not a mold spore or any other type of biological contamination, because the only thing it is carbon and oxygen. And with no signs of the other two elements, this is not biologic in origin. We're still trying to find out what these murderous companies are up to, Stu, but we're getting closer and closer every day.
Okay, so I've got a couple of questions real quickly here. Number one, this is inconsistent with previous reports that we've had on warmed up vials. Others appeared to have come alive, I think I remember. Why the inconsistencies and what's actually true, this guy or the previous reports?
Yeah, I think that the difference is that the previous reports we've heard were warmed up within hours, maybe at most a day or two. This is a very long-term warming up. This is a very long-term departure from the 70 plus below zero temperatures because it requires dry ice to keep it intact. They know it's going to be room temperature or warmer. And that's when we've seen with previous investigators, after a few hours to a day, we've seen self-assembling nanoparticles, right? So what we have here is, like I've said for many months, we know from the work of Team Enigma that there are different things in these vials at different times, depending on when you get your shot, even within the same lot number. So it's important to remember that. Now we've got a situation where we've had a long-term warm-up or at room temperature, maybe even warmer during the transporting process. But it's additional information.
So the other question that I would have then is this.
Yeah.
If after 2 months of being at room temperature, warmed up, sitting there, stagnant, everything's settling, there's no biologics, there's no RNA, there's no nucleic acids, there's none of these things, only essentially aluminum and these other things that you mentioned, does that make it safer? Like, so there's nothing to worry about at this point because you're not having any of this other stuff in it? I mean, I guess I don't want people to feel like, well, if you get a warmed up vaccine, it's actually a vaccine and not a bioweapon euthanasia shot that's going to end in tragedy and an early grave.
No, I would not agree with that at all, because it's going to warm up to almost 100 degrees in your body. So it doesn't mean that it's safer. It could mean several possibilities. Either the biologic material was never in these particular vials, or the long-term warm up above these sub-zero temperatures caused some kind of destruction of the natural material, leaving behind these toxic metals. And I have to tell you, got to watch the Dr. Jane Ruby show immediately after Stu show tonight, because we're going to dig deeper. And one of the things that Dr. Negassi found was a very rare, very strange and rare metal that no one else has found so far in these vials.
Well, nobody's been doing more to bring this to the public's attention than you have in this program, and with notable exceptions, a few others. One of them, Banners for Freedom, you've teamed up with these people as well to take this to a whole new level of exposure. Tell us quickly about that.
Yeah, really quick, Stu. We're just trying to do everything we can to stop this from getting into babies and children. This is a very dangerous month for the 20 million babies and toddlers in the United States, because the FDA, which is a fake phony organization, it's collapsed into, you know, that does the bidding of these companies, is having sham meetings this month, four sham meetings to bring this toxic poison to babies and children. So in Times Square, Banners for Freedom has put up a shout out to Red Voice Media and the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, the embalmer's clot, the very large one that Mr. Hirschman found recently, and it will be above the ABC, I believe, building in Times Square, a very large digital billboard. Please go to Banners with the number 4, bannersforfreedom.com, and help us continue, make donations and help us continue this thing in Times Square until October.
Yeah, but it is save going the babies. Babies are going to die. There's no question about it. So help out with that if you can. Banners, the number 4, freedom.com. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to tonight's show. Immediately following this one on the Stu Peters Network on Rumble, also at stupeters.com. Have a great day. All right, one of the things at the Stu Peters Show that I am most proud of is how we have arranged to be funded by small businesses, the backbone of the U.S. economy, that's been forgotten and thrown away and put in the trash by the commies who have taken us over by Marxist coup. We won't do that. We've never taken a dime from big pharma or big corporate conglomerates or globalist enterprise. One of these products that can actually help you is Magnesium Breakthrough. Did you know, I didn't realize until recently how important magnesium is to your body and your overall health. If you experience sleepless nights, if you experience low mood or increased stress and anxiety, like who doesn't? You could be among 50 million or more other Americans that are suffering from magnesium deficiency. I had no idea. I'm taking the product now. My rest has never been better. I'm getting the sleep that I need. The stress and anxiety has reduced, and low mood is absent in my life. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters, and read for yourself. Do your own research and find how magnesium can benefit you. Magnesium Breakthrough can be found at magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. And if you use promo code StuPeters10, you'll get 10% off plus free shipping at checkout. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters and use the promo code StuPeters10 at checkout.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin Boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them, I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up, and they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids? No. Mask mandates for little Mikey? Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
We're out of time. I gotta go. See you tomorrow. Same place, same time, but live from DC. Until then, God bless you.